Vidugna Madhava, Act 6, Autumn Pastimes. Jatila enters and then speaks. I have heard that today my daughter-in-law Radha is wearing a yellow upper garment. I shall go and see if it is true. She walks and looks. Why does Vishakha wander and wander? Why has she fainted on the porch? I shall ask her. She approaches Vishakha. Oh, Vishakha, it is only the first hour of the morning, and still you aimlessly wander like this. Vishakha enters and says to herself, we have spent the entire night on the great festival of the Rasa Dance. Where have we been able to find the slightest fragrance of sleep? It is quite appropriate that we stagger about like this. Then Vishakha forces her eyes open and says openly, O noble lady, by the order of the noble Purnamasi, we have stayed awake all night in vigil at the temple. Jatila to herself says, aha, that's why my daughter-in-law's bed was empty last night. And openly she says, Vishakha, please call my daughter-in-law. Radharani enters. Radha, wiping her eyes and yawning, says, oh, Vishakha, I am very sleepy. Opening her eyes a little, she becomes frightened and says to herself, why has noble Jatila come here? Jatila gazes at Radha and says to herself, alas, alas, it is true. It is a yellow garment. Radharani whispers to Vishakha, from the mouth of Sarangi I heard that the old lady went in the middle of the night to the river shore where we were enjoying pastimes. Is it not true that she must have seen us there? Vishakha answers, no, on your order we two friends met the old lady when she came. Radharani says, then why does she look at me with this frightening stare? Jatila angrily says, liar Vishakha, have you become blind? Vishakha glances at Radha. Despondently, she speaks secretly to Radha. O girl agitated to enjoy transcendental pastimes, is it this? Note that this is Radha's yellow upper garment. Radharani glances at her own chest and says, oh, you are my only shelter now. Vishakha glances at Jatila and says, with jubilant hearts the young gopis playfully threw water mixed with yellow dye on each other. This colored water has given a yellow color to the cloth over Radha's shoulder. Oh, noble lady, why do you stare at my dear friend Radha from the corners of these crooked eyes? Jatila, believing the story, says, Vishakha, because you are so restless, you brought my daughter-in-law amongst those gopis who were blinded by their youthfulness. In this way, you almost destroyed my son's home. Vishakha says, oh, noble lady, why do you criticize me? You may just as soon criticize the glory of the Diwali festival, which is coming soon, and which maddens all of Gokula from the small children to the elderly. Jatila says, child, you speak the truth. Last night I saw all the young girls of Gokula madly doing something like that on the river bank. With a crooked eye, Vishakha glances at Radhika. Jatila humbly says, O Vishakha, be merciful to me. Be merciful. I place the tip of my finger in my mouth and I beg you, please be merciful to me. Vishakha humbly says, O noble lady, why do you speak in this way? I am your servant. You may order me as you wish. Jatila says, child, you are very pure at heart. For this reason I ask you, please protect my daughter-in-law from the hand of this Krishna. Vishakha says, O noble lady, please be free from all worries. Lita is very intelligent and expert in these affairs. Jatila asks, where's the Lita now? Vishakha answers, look, accompanied by Padma, she has now come here. So accompanied by Padma, Lalita enters. Lalita says, friend Padma, from where have you come? Padma answers, I have come from Krishna. Lalita asks, where is Krishna now? Padma answers, he is at the boundary of the garden of Malati flowers. Lalita asks, what is he doing? Padma answers, he is performing pastimes with Madhu Mangal. Lalita, with a joking smile, asks, ah, has he fulfilled all your desires then? Padma, laughing, says, don't think otherwise. I made a crown of flowers and gave it to Krishna. Then she remembers, Krishna said to me, Padma, you always give me flower garlands. In the same way, Lalita always gives me wonderfully colorful mineral pigments. Please place this letter in her hand. And she gives her the letter. Lalita takes the letter and says to herself, I have never given mineral pigments to Krishna. There must be some other secret meaning in these words. She reads the letter aloud. O restless-eyed girl, please place in my hand a large quantity of mineral pigment from the mountain. Reflecting for a moment, she says to herself, these words actually mean, please place Radha in my hand. This is a request for a meeting with Radha. Then openly she says, oh friend, I shall certainly do that. Now you please go to Radhika and ask about her welfare and try to please her. Padma approaches Radha and says with a playful smile, oh Radha, by good fortune there is no rivalry or dispute between us. Formerly the Krishna, the prince of Gokula, stole our garments, but now you yourself have stolen his own yellow garment. Lalita, smiling, says, oh shameless girl, my friend's upper cloth is dyed yellow with kumkum. When you see it, why do you suspect my friend of doing something improper? Padma, smiling, says, oh Radha, please give me permission to depart. I shall quickly go to Sakishtali village and bring pleasure to my dear friend Chandravali, who sings the glories of Lord Krishna. Vishakha, laughing, says, Padma, you are fortunate. Your dear friend Chandravali can remain happy simply by singing about Krishna, even though she does not get the opportunity to see him. Padma says, Vishakha, why do you not also act in that way? Vishakha answers, oh, how will we be able to act like that? Padma asks, why not? Vishakha answers, oh, charming girl, my friend Radhika becomes agitated simply by the sound of the name Krishna. Padma, to herself, says, she praises the glory of her friend Radha's love for Krishna. So be it. And then openly she says, Vishakha, you are genuinely happy. I and my friends are actually unhappy. Lalita says, Padma, you do not suffer at all. Padma says, Lalita, don't speak in that way. We are constantly in the dressing room stringing garlands for Chandravali, arranging her hair, anointing her bimba fruit lips with red cosmetics, and decorating her in many ways. Our suffering is a great network that has no end. Lalita laughingly says, oh Padma, it is true. You and your friends have many sufferings. I and my friends have only one. Vishakha says, for Radha, Krishna is like an unreachable star shining in the sky. Radha is continually tormented by the desire to attain this unattainable Krishna, who is like a regal young maddened elephant enjoying pastimes on the shore of the Yamuna. Lalita, smiling, says, oh Vishakha, there is one more very severe suffering. How have you forgotten it? Vishakha asks, Lalita, what is it? Please remind me. Lalita says, oh simple girl, it is that moment by moment we must continually apply Yavaka cosmetics to the flower blossoms of Radha's feet. Vishakha laughingly says, oh crooked liar, Lalita, stop, stop. Radha's feet are anointed with the mineral pigment from Krishna's head. They are not anointed with Yavaka. Radhika, embarrassed, says, Padma, don't listen to these words of these foul-mouthed girls. Just go at once to your dear friend Chandravali. And Padma answers, as my dear friend orders. Then she exits. Lalita, to herself, says, How shall I fulfill Krishna's request? Openly, she says, O Radha, come here. Let us pick some flowers and then offer them in worship to the sun god. Radharani says to herself, Now, by good fortune, she may fulfill the desire within my heart. In this place, it may be possible for me to see Krishna. And then openly, she says, As it pleases my friend. And then they exit. Accompanied by Madhu Mangal, Krishna enters. Krishna says, Now that autumn has come, the Jamuna River has become thin and the sandy beaches on the river shore have increased. The forest of Vrindavan is filled with extended peacock tails, billions of gunja berries, and buzzing bees flying within the boundaries of creepers bearing many clusters of fragrant flowers. Looking again and blissfully, he says, Now that it is autumn, all directions in Vrindavan forest are filled with loud sounds. Look! For the sake of a cow and heat, the powerful bulls are dueling with long horns. Madhu Mangal, looking in all directions, says, O Mukunda, has this Vrindavan forest become pleasantly shaded because of your touch? On the pretext of bearing these many blossoming yellow Karnataka flowers, the forest is now dressed in yellow garments. Krishna to himself says, Did Lalita understand the hint in my letter? Will she fulfill my desire? Alas, now that I am separated from Radha, whose restless eyes are like playful Kunjana birds, even this Vrindavan forest, which is now filled with the sweet beauty of autumn, does not give me even a drop of happiness. I shall send a signal with my flute. And he does that. Oh, Chakravaki! Now the auspicious time to meet your lover has come. Oh, beautiful girl, please quickly come to my side. Your friend is gazing at the path with half-opened eyes. He constantly cries in grief. Madhu Mangal says, Oh, friend, what was that wonderful, unprecedented sound? Krishna says, Friend, that was my effort to find a doe. Madhu Mangal says, The truth is spoken. What is the need of speaking even one syllable more? Krishna says, Well said, my friend. This is to find a doe. Note, the word lochana may mean either seen or eye. If interpreted to mean eye, the word karangi lochana may be interpreted to mean doe-eyed Radha. In this way, Krishna's statement may mean, This is for doe-eyed Radha. There is a voice from behind the scenes. As with the cupped hands of their ears, the Surabhi cows drink the sound of the flute, they fill all directions with a great flood of milk. Even though it is not the season for them to bloom, all the trees have suddenly opened with many flowers beautifying the forest of Vrindavan. These newly blossomed flowers have curdled the flood of milk from the Surabhi cows, and now a great flood of yogurt flows in Vrindavan forest. Krishna says, Friend, On the right, look, there is my pet bull Padmaganda among the Surabhi cows. He is very tall, and he has great red horns. His hooves and his beautiful and handsome eyes are also red. A bell hangs from his neck. His long tail moves on the ground. He is very tall, and he possesses an incomparable hump, and he is the same white color as Mount Kailash. Accompanied by two gopi friends, Radharani enters. Radharani to herself says, A flute sound came from this direction. I must be mistaken. It is not possible. Lalita, with a satiric smile, says, O Radhika, why have you suddenly picked up your ears like the ears of a doe? Radhika says, Lalita, why do you attribute your own qualities to others? In truth, you are like a doe because it is easy to see how you are enchanted by the sound of the flute. Lalita says, Radha, you are the doe. After all, the doe named Rangini is your friend. Radharani to herself says, The flood of sweet fragrance coming from the forest garden tugs at me as if it were a gopi messenger. With a trick, she walks ahead. Vishaka says, Friend Radha, how have you become like a bumblebee attracted by a sweet fragrance? Radharani says, Vishaka, many blossoming flowers may be seen before us. I shall pick some and use them in the worship of the sun god. Lalita says, "You are actually trembling with love for the sun god. This must be love for the sun god who moves in the forest and not the sun god who moves in the sky." Note, the forest sun god is Krishna. Radharani, in the anger of love, says, "Oh, uncivilized girl, I speak of the moon who is the friend of the lotus flowers." Note, the sunlight causes the lotuses to bloom, and therefore it is considered the lotus's friend. In these words, Radha denies that she trembles with love for the sun who moves in the forest, Krishna. She affirms that she feels affection for the sun who travels in the sky. Lalita says, "Friend, why do you hide your actual purpose?" Vishakha says, "Lalita, she is angry because she thinks you have become her competitor. For this reason, she conceals her actual intention. She is no longer your dear friend." Radharani knits her eyebrows and says, "Treacherous girl, fool, why do you reveal the actual desire in your heart? Hurry, your lover Krishna, who relieves the itching sensation of your lips, is not far from you." Lalita says, "O Radha, the creepers of Vrindavan forest know that since childhood my vow of chastity has never been broken. What shall I say with my mouth?" Radharani, laughing, says, "O chaste girl, they know, they know. At dawn I personally saw the mark of Krishna's shark-shaped earring imprinted on the creeper of your arm. In the same way, I also saw Krishna's peacock feather crown on Vishakha's bed." Lalita, laughing, says, "Scandalous girl, go away, go away." Vishakha says, "Radha, how much can you hide? A Chandrakanta jewel on the moon cannot avoid melting away." Note, when exposed to moonlight, the Chandrakanta jewel melts, just as a Chandrakanta jewel on the moon cannot avoid melting away. In the same way, Radha cannot conceal her love for Krishna. Radharani looks ahead and, astonished, says, "Lalita, please excuse me. I'm going to run away." And then she starts trembling. Lalita, frightened, says, "Radha, what has frightened you?" Radharani inimically says, "Oh, crooked girl, what is the use of this pretended innocence? Is it not true that you have brought me here from far away simply to place me in the hand of this debauchee?" Lalita, carefully looking, says to herself, "Is it not that this girl sees a tamal tree from a distance and she thinks the tree is Krishna?" Openly, she says, "Why should you run away? You have this opportunity because of me." And then she pulls Radha. Radharani, tormented, says, "Friend Vishakha, protect me. I'd run to you for shelter." Vishakha says, "O girl, bewildered by love, how is it that for you all the three worlds have become transformed into Krishna? Look, this is a tree. It is not the playful Krishna." Krishna says, "How is it that the slender Radha has not yet come? I shall play my flute." And he does that. "O moon, please decorate this forest with your soft footsteps. Anxiously waiting for you, a young chakora bird stares at the eastern horizon." Vishakha, peacefully and soberly, says, "O Radha, why did you reel about and fall on this kadamba tree?" Lalita says, "O friend, the flute, again and again I bow down to offer respects to you. You have openly revealed the great secret kept within this Radha." Radharani tries to hide the outward expression of her love for Krishna. Lalita says, "O girl whose thighs are as beautiful as plantain trees, the sweet sound of the flute is now gliding into your ears. That flute music has also made the pillars of your thighs stunned and motionless, and it has blinded you with a monsoon of tears. What is the use of this great endeavor to hide your emotion with these waves of concealment?" Vishakha says, "Lalita, now what chance does she have to conceal her actual emotions?" Then she says, "The playing of the flute has now become your enemy. That flute music is the mantra from the Atharva Veda to exorcise your shyness. It is the sacred mantra to ignite the sacrificial fire of amorous pastimes. It is the Tattvamasi mantra of the Upanishads to proclaim your conjugal union with Lord Krishna." Radharani, agitated, says, "Friend, you speak the truth. "This cruel flute is now my enemy. I shall now rebuke it. O flute, although both you and the bow are born from the great bamboo cane, still it is to the bow that I offer my respectful obeisances and not to you. When a person is wounded by arrows from the bow, a person quickly gives up his body without suffering for a long time. However, when a person is pierced by the musical arrows of the flute, which are more terrible even than the arrows of Cupid, O cruel flute, a person attains a very horrible situation where he remains neither dead or alive." Krishna looks ahead and becomes blissful and says, "Here is Radha's pet doe, Rangini. Because just as the moon never leaves its deer-like markings, Radhika never leaves the company of Rangini. Rangini's presence means that Radhika will soon appear in this place." Note, in the convention of Sanskrit poetry, the shadows of the moon are said to resemble the shape of a deer, just as in the West, the moon's shadows are said to resemble the face of a man. Looking again, Krishna says, "Friend, I understand, I understand. This is not Radhika's pet doe. It is a spotless moon approaching us." He is struck with wonder. "I think the moon has left its deer and descended to this earth." He looks again. "Ah, now I understand. This is Radha's delightful face, which is filled with blossoming, playful pastimes." He approaches. Madhu Mangal jokingly says, "Oh, friend, don't run. Walk slowly. How have you become so bewildered? You must have become mad by listening to the bad advice of these rascal girls. At the right time, I will make all the arrangements. I will arrange that your love is requited." He takes Krishna's hand. Krishna says, "Friend, you do well. I tremble as I approach Radhika. It is difficult for me to proceed. It is good that you are holding my hand." And then he walks. Her heart resplendent with transcendental love, and her face beautifully decorated with ornamental lines drawn with various cosmetics, this beautiful girl attracts my heart and makes me thirsty to attain her. She attracts me just like a blossoming Ashoka creeper attracts a bumblebee. Note, if the word Anuraga is taken to mean reddish, and Sumanaha is taken to mean the Sumana flower, then this verse may be interpreted in the following way. Her complexion is splendid as beautifully reddish Sumana flowers, and her face beautifully decorated with ornamental lines drawn with various cosmetics. This beautiful girl attracts me just as a blossoming Ashoka creeper attracts a bumblebee. Radhika gazes at Krishna from the corner of her eyes and then says to herself, "The corner of his eyes are overwhelmed with ever-fresh amorous pastimes, and a blossoming twig decorates his ear, and a garland of malati flowers crowns his head. The sweetness of Madhava Krishna maddens my intelligence." Vishakha laughingly says, "The sweet fragrance of your body now has brought Krishna completely under your dominion. Why do you uselessly play in this way? When the strong warrior expert in battle already places victory in one hand, what general would engage in any further fighting to gain the conquest?" Radhika says, "O foul-mouthed girl, you shall not stay in my company. There is no mercy in your heart. I shall abandon you and take shelter of my dear, affectionate friend Lalita." She does that and then says, "I see the restless Krishna approaching. O dear friend, you are very strong. I take shelter of you. I shall no longer stay in this dense forest." Lalita, with a playful smile, says, "As long as I am present, only your yellow upper garment will touch your breasts. No one will touch them. O charming, bewildered girl, do not fear." Note, if the word Pitambara is interpreted to mean Lord Krishna who wears yellow garments, then the verse reveals the following hidden meaning. As long as I am present, only Lord Krishna who wears yellow garments will touch your breasts. No one else will touch them. O charming, bewildered girl, do not fear. Krishna blissfully says, "Oh, beautiful girl, now I have you." And then he approaches Radharani. Lalita indignantly approaches Krishna to stop him. Oh, expert debauchee, our dear friend Radha is not the proper object of your jokes. Go away. Krishna, smiling, says, Lalita, this is not Braj Village. Look, this is the belly of Vrindavan Forest. You have no power here. Lalita says, Krishna, those among us who are very foolish fear you. I do not fear you. I am the famous Lalita. Casting a sidelong glance at Krishna, Radharani trembles. Lalita says, Radha, why do you tremble with fear while Lalita stays by you? Radharani says, Lalita, come. Let us take the bundle of flowers we have collected and let us go to the bank of the Yamuna. Krishna says, Oh, hard-hearted girl, how can you take these Bandhu Jiva flowers and go far away? And then he blocks the path. Note, if the word Bandhu Jiva is interpreted to mean the life, Jiva, of a friend, Bandhu, then the words reveal the following hidden meaning. Oh, hard-hearted girl, how can you take away the very life of your friend Krishna and then go far away? Krishna continues, How will you be able to cross the base of Govardhan Hill, filled and covered with splendid black pebbles, filled with bamboos and other canes moving in the wind? How will you be able to climb Govardhan Hill's tall summit? Don't take this path. Take the path that goes by the Jamuna shore. That path you can easily traverse. The exalted Supreme Personality of Godhead, who maintains the entire world, now stands before you. His bodily luster is the color of sapphire. He holds a staff and he carries a bamboo flute tucked in his glistening belt. How will you be able to pass through his roadblock? Instead, you should take the path that goes by the Jamuna shore. That path you will be able to traverse. Radharani casts a crooked glance and says in a menacing tone to Krishna, Debauchee, I am not at fault for this. Now I shall go to complain to Yashoda, the queen of Gokula. Krishna says, Radha, why are you afraid? Give up this fear. Ah, the beautiful yellow cloth covering your shoulders is actually my property. And then he attacks Radharani. Radharani, knitting her eyebrows, says, I am the most chaste of all chaste girls. Now that I am in the company of Lalita, I feel very confident. I give you this good advice. O Madhava, do not become a snake in my path. Note, if the word ma is interpreted to mean to me, and the word bhujangatam to mean the condition, tam, of placing ga, your arm, bhujam, then the verse reveals the following hidden meaning. I am the most chaste of all chaste girls. Now that I am in the company of Lalita, I feel very confident. I give you this good advice. O Madhava, please embrace me in your arms. Krishna says, Lalita, did I hear Radha speak these crooked words? I shall not become an offender by disobeying her request. He raises both arms. Lalita stands in front of Radharani and says, Krishna, even though your transcendental qualities are worthy to be glorified by the entire world, and even though you are the son of the king of Gokula, you should not do this wicked thing to me. Madhumangal says, O arrogant girl, why do you steal these flowers that are the property of my dear friend? You are ruining this forest of Vrindavan. Krishna says, Friend, quickly count the flowers they have taken so I can take from their necklaces an equal number of jewels. Madhumangal says, Dear friend, I have finished counting. Now in exchange for the red flowers, you may take rubies, for the white flowers, pearls, and diamonds. Krishna says, Friend, I am thinking. These jewels are not as valuable as the flowers. How many jewels should I take for each flower? Madhumangal, with plaintive words, says, Friend, this humble Brahmana begs. Please be satisfied with an equal number of jewels. Krishna says, As my friend says, I shall do it. Lalita laughingly says, Noble sir, you are a counselor who gives good advice to your master. Vishakha, agitated, says, Krishna, stand back. Krishna says, Crooked girl, why? Vishakha says, Look, with a moon-like smile, our dear friend Radha is preparing to violently fight with you. Note, if the word sambhrambena is interpreted to mean with amorous passion, these words reveal the following hidden meaning. Look, with a moon-like smile, our dear friend Radha is preparing for a passionate, amorous battle with you. Krishna, smiling, says, "O charming girl, look, my body is also decorated with hair standing erect with amorous passion. Now, I shall easily take this jewel of all beautiful girls." He then approaches Radharani. Lalita, furious, says, "Krishna, I see the reckless act you are about to perform. Just try to once touch Radharani's shadow." Krishna says, "Friend, has the goddess Durga now appeared in the form of this Lalita?" Radharani says, "Become calm," and she affectionately embraces Lalita. Krishna says aside to Lalita, "Lalita, give up your harsh opposition." Lalita says, "Give me a bribe." Krishna smilingly says, "Lalita, to you I shall speak the truth. I shall abandon Radha, and tonight I shall fight a duel of amorous pastimes with you." Lalita, angrily turning to him, says, "Go away, you clown, go." Krishna says, "You tell me what bribe will please you." Lalita says, "Oh, debauchee, you have blasphemed my friend simply because she enjoyed wandering in the Vrindavan forest looking for flowers. You should satisfy her by decorating her with these splendid flowers." Krishna, smiling, says, "Whatever pleases you." He walks with proud boldness. "Lalita, be angry with me. I do not consider you as important as a blade of grass." He extends his hand to take Radhika's necklace. Lalita, with a crooked glance and smile, says, "O clever Krishna, my dear friend has bathed so she can worship the sun god. You have not bathed, and therefore you must not touch her." Krishna says, "I have already bathed in the splendid waters of my perspiration. O foolish girl, why do you not see it?" Lalita takes Radha aside and slowly says, "This gloomy forest filled with terrible dark tamal trees has made Krishna very angry. In order to protect our necklaces, we should be very kind and polite to him." Madhumangal says, "Aha, aha, the proud gopis are now defeated." And then he starts dancing. Radharani says, "O bewildered Lalita, have you forgotten that now is the time to worship the sun god?" Note, if the word Ba Avantasa is interpreted to mean Lord Krishna, the words reveal the following hidden meaning. O bewildered Lalita, have you forgotten that now is the time to worship Lord Krishna? Madhumangal says, "O goddess Radha, do not become proud, thinking that you alone are engaged in the worship of the sun god. For even Krishna and I are also engaged in that worship." Vishakha asks, "O noble sir, how do you worship?" Madhumangal replies, "O noble Vishakha, please listen. In a forest temple decorated with flowers, I keep a midnight vigil as I meditate on the sound of ankle bells." Everyone smiles. Madhumangal, with praise, says, "Holding a beautiful blossom lotus flower in his hand, the restless elephant of Sri Krishna has entered this lovely forest grove with graceful and bold steps. O beautiful girl, you are very fortunate. Simply with a gentle smile, you have captured that elephant and bound it up." Note, the word Ujjwala may also be interpreted to mean conjugal love. In this way, the first sentence of this verse may be interpreted, "Holding a beautiful blossom lotus flower in his hand, the bold, amorous, restless elephant of Sri Krishna has entered this lovely forest grove." The word Vandi Kritaha may also be interpreted to mean glorified. If this meaning is accepted, then the last sentence becomes, "With your gentle smile, you sing the praises of that elephant." Krishna says, "Beloved, served by a host of beautiful gopi friends, and your gestures as graceful as the delicate happy swans, you fill my eyes with the sight of your beauty just as the autumn season fills them. O moon-faced girl, you have robbed me of my sleep." Note, if the word sahachari is interpreted to mean sahachari flowers, the first part of the verse may be interpreted, "Beloved, decorated with many beautiful sahachari flowers." If the word loka is interpreted to mean world, the last part of the verse may be interpreted, "You fill the world with beauty just as the autumn season also fills it." Krishna continues, "By By decorating you with these newly blossomed flowers, I shall make the beauty of this autumn season fruitful. Madumangal says, now that the autumn has begun, the peacocks, seeing your eagerness to enjoy transcendental pastimes, respond by dropping many splendid peacock feathers for your use. O Krishna, my heart becomes struck with wonder when I see how these peacocks understand when it is the proper time for them to act. Krishna says, friend, you have seen the truth. I shall go to collect peacock feathers for my crown. Krishna and Madhumangal do that. Radharani says, friend, that burden is now gone, and now I feel free from all my worries. If you were actually kind to me, then keep Krishna far away while I enter the grove of Ashok trees. And she does that. Krishna then says, friend, now this crown of peacock feathers may beautify the parted hair of Radha, whose restless eyes are like two graceful Kanjana birds. He walks. And then he says, Lalita, where's your dear friend? Lalita replies, she has gone home. Krishna says, cruel woman, stop. I shall at once remove all the pride of your rascaldom. He looks in all directions and says with great happiness, friend, look, all at once I have attained my fair complexion, beloved. He then approaches. Madhumangal laughs and says, O friend, are you not still dizzy from the time when the Trinavarta whirlwind spun you around? Look, this is a land-growing lotus flower covered with yellow pollen. Krishna, looking at it, says, friend, you speak the truth. Then he goes to another place. O friend, look, without doubt I have now attained Radha, whose limbs are anointed with kumkum. Desiring to embrace her, he runs. Madhumangal, loudly clapping his hands and laughing, says, O friend, this is not your fault. Drowning in the waves of love, you now think that this entire Vrindavan forest is actually Radha. Krishna, struck with wonder, looks about. Where is our gopi friend? He looks to the side. O beautiful Lalita, please come down from the great mountain of your contrariness and extend your hand to help me in this dense forest. Lalita, smiling, says, O handsome boy, you should ask Vishakha. She knows where Radha has gone. Lalita sends a signal to Vishakha. Krishna, happily speaking aside to Madhumangal, friend, look. To Vishakha, Lalita signals with her eyebrows. She points to the grove of Kadamba trees. There is not the slightest doubt that she is doing it. With a proud smile, he walks there. O beloved, I see you. Come out. He waits with raised neck and then laughs out loud. Lalita, well done, well done. The vine of your rascaldom has now borne its fruit. Madhumangal says, friend, I have your Radha. Krishna joyfully says, friend, you are not like Lalita. I can trust that you speak the truth. Madhumangal says, I swear on the Gayatri mantra that I speak the truth. Krishna with trust says, friend, where is she? Show her to me. Madhumangal says, I shall place her in your hand, but first you must give me a reward. Krishna respectfully decorates him with a garland of malati flowers. Madhumangal says, now you may take her. He gives Krishna a leaf on which the word Radha is written. Smiling, Krishna says, friend, I am pleased with your gift. When the syllables of the beloved's name even momentarily enter the eyes or ears of the lover, at every moment they bring great satisfaction to the lover's heart. What to speak of the lover's heart? These syllables fill the hearts of the entire world with transcendental love. He turns and becomes struck with wonder as he notices a blossoming Ashok tree on the right. I think the moon-faced Radharani may have entered this grove of Ashok trees with a desire to enjoy transcendental pastimes here. If this were not so, then how, when it is not the proper season, could the bumblebees proclaim the glories of the fragrant blossoming Ashok flowers, if Radharani had not touched them with her feet? Note, it is said that if a young girl touches an Ashok tree with her foot, the tree will immediately blossom. In this verse, Lord Krishna thinks that because the Ashok trees are blooming at the wrong time of the year, Srimati Radharani must have stepped on them as she walked through the forest. Krishna keeps walking, and lifting his neck he sees Radha. Then he becomes very blissful and says, beloved, please tell me, what has happened? Radharani, with the anger of love, says, I fled out of fear of you. Even here you have come to mock me. Krishna, praising himself, says, CO expert I am. By preventing you from hiding from me, I have defeated you. Lalita says, O expert boaster, in this Vrindavan forest only one Brahma offers prayers to you. Although many Brahmas offer prayers glorifying the beauty of each of Radha's transcendental limbs, you may lift Govardhan Hill with a single hand, but my friend Radha pulls the great mountain of Sri Krishna with a single sidelong glance. O hero Krishna, do not be so proud. Krishna says, O Lalita, I shall disappear. In this way I shall remove your false boasting. Everyone says, Do it. Krishna says, Far to the north is a grove of tamal trees as dark as a swarm of black bees. Because those trees and I are the same color, we are close friends. These trees will certainly give me a good hiding place. Accompanied by his friend Madhu Mangal, Krishna exits. Lalita says, O Radha, do not be unhappy because Krishna is no longer in your sight. You shall see him again. Now that we are separated from him, we shall go everywhere to find him. Radharani says, As my dear friend speaks, the three girls do that. Radharani goes to the northern forest and then pauses to reflect. Is this not the place where Krishna will be found? If he sees me, he will escape and go to the south. O does, has handsome Krishna come to this place and become the guest of the corners of your eyes? I can see that because you must have heard the sweet music of Krishna's flute, the grass is now falling half-chewed from your mouths. She walks ahead, looks in all directions, and says, Because the trees have become stunned and stopped oozing honey, and because the birds have all assembled together as if stunned with transcendental love, I think they must be all aware of the presence of Lord Krishna, who wears a crown of peacock feathers and who enchants the hearts of the entire world. She walks to the left and then says, These restless bumblebees fly to and fro without drinking the nectar of these flowers. This parrot has become stunned and will not eat the pomegranate near him. This doe has become pale and declines to eat the green grass beneath her. These are certainly symptoms of the fact that Sri Krishna, who walks like the best of graceful elephants, must have traveled down this path. She goes ahead and says, On the left I see a grove of black tamal trees. Tilting her neck, she looks at the trees and says, Why have the monkeys in the branches of the tamal trees given up their natural restlessness? Why do their bodily hairs stand upright in ecstasy, and why do they stare at the ground in this way? In this way, the branches of the tamal trees appear very beautiful. Krishna enters, and then says to himself, The great love that Radha bears for me in the courtyard of her heart has become the messenger to quickly guide her to me. She can easily find me now. I shall stand as still and motionless as a column. And then he does that. Radha lowers her head and then she sees Krishna. As a trick, she says, Krishna is not here. Krishna to himself says, Fortunately, she did not see me. Radharani, smiling, says, Here is a blue column studded with jewels. Krishna says, Is it not so that because of the dense, blinding darkness she cannot recognize me? Radharani says, Ah, the splendor of this sapphire column. Krishna with happiness says to himself, O darkness, my friend, I take shelter of you. Please extend your influence at once so that even though this girl whose restless eyes are like the eyes of a doe stares at me at close range and for a long time, she will not understand who I am. Radhika smiles and says, Wonderful, wonderful. I see a line of moons reflected on this sapphire column. Note, Chandravali is, of course, the name of Radha's rival, and therefore the sentence may also be interpreted. Wonderful, wonderful. I see my rival Chandravali reflected on this sapphire column. Krishna smiles and says to himself, How does she understand who I am so that she can joke in this way? He rises and says openly, Beloved, you speak the truth. When the moon of your face is reflected on the many waves of the thoughts in my heart, the reflection is broken into many moons. Radharani says, Oh, is it you? Then it is not wonderful. Krishna says, Oh, playful girl, what is the need for all these punning jokes? Come here. For a moment, let us both enjoy transcendental pastimes in this Saptaparna grove filled to the brim with the sweet fragrance of hosts of flowers. And they both do that. Lalita says, Vishaka, look. Our dear friend Radha has gone with Krishna. Here we can see her footprints mixed with his. Vishakha says, following the footprints, here Radha and Krishna's footprints face each other, showing that here they must have embraced. Here the footprints are uneven, showing that they must have enjoyed playful pastimes. Here the footprints are soft and regular, showing that they must have had a very long talk. Krishna says, beloved, not very far away is the soft sound of a tinkling sash of bells. Let us become silent and listen. Vishakha says, ah, how was our dear friend Radha able to find Krishna so quickly in this part of the forest which was so much overgrown with creepers? Lalita says, here that person who is difficult to find in this world enjoys transcendental pastimes. For a moment, a sweet-throated cuckoo stays on a budding mango tree. Krishna says, beloved, here come your two friends. I shall play a joke on them by hiding. He does that. Lalita, walking ahead, sees Radha and happily says, oh, where is your lover? Radha, with a smile, says, who knows? Lalita, with a playful smile, says, your hair is disheveled, your pearl necklace broken, your teeth are no longer reddened with betel nuts, your breasts bear many scratch marks, and your belt is untied. O friend, it appears that you've enjoyed conjugal union with Krishna. Is this proper for us chaste girls of Gokula? Krishna approaches and says, Lalita, I have not done anything bad to your friend. I've been hiding in the forest the entire time. Lalita says, what did my dear friend do to make you hide in the forest? Krishna says, O beautiful girl, her bold amorous advances made me flee, pointing with his finger, look, look! She wounded my chest with the hard tips of her fingernails. She violently attacked me and scattered my peacock feather decorations. She pulled apart my beautiful garland of forest flowers. Even though she did all these things, your dear friend now stands before you and says that she knows nothing about it. Radha, embarrassed, says, you are expert at blaming others for what you yourself have done. A voice from behind the scenes says, Jatila with the ones whose blossoms have opened. And the sentence is half finished. Radharani, frightened, says, a calamity, a great calamity. It is the terrible old lady. Let us flee at once. And with her two gopi friends, she exits. Again, the voice from behind the scenes says, covered with pollen in autumn, these beautiful Saptaparna trees look like Jatila yogis, the devotees of Shiva who wear matted locks of hair. Krishna, feeling very distressed, says, ah, the Brahmachari Madhumangal used the word Jatila to describe the Saptaparna trees. Jatila is not coming now. These bitter words of his have ruined me. Now let me go to my Gopa friends. And then everyone exits.